Welcome back to the Roundtable, a Friday morning edition on WAMC. Ray Graff still in for Joe Donahue, who is still on the way, and he will be here. We expect him any time now. We welcome, you know how we start the show. If you've never tuned in before, are you lucky to have found us? What we do is we have a panel discussion about things in the news and around the world and items of interest, and we usually welcome some people to the panel and a couple of our regulars. A political consultant, Libby Post, is here. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Ray.
Yeah, nice to see you here.
And I'm
Alan,
here.
Alan, nice to see you as well. You are here, right?
Yes.
Nice to have you in the building. You may have heard Joe is having transportation difficulties, and he will be here very shortly. The latest reports are any moment now he'll stride right through the door.
Well, flat tires in this weather is par for the course.
Good times indeed. Well, lots going on, and not a lot of it really good news. If you've been following what has been going on in France, police in France say the gunman who is holding a hostage. Now, there's a second, Alan, I don't know if you know this, but there is now a second hostage situation. The first one is where they have Sharif and Saeed Kouachi holed up in an industrial town northeast of Paris, and French security forces are surrounding a printing shop where the two brothers are holed up, and they have a hostage. The suspects hijacked a car early today in a nearby town. There's been a manhunt going on since they allegedly stormed into the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo, killing 12 people and wounding 11. But now this morning, police in France say the gunman who was holding hostage at a kosher market on the eastern edges of Paris is also suspected in yesterday's shooting death of a policewoman. And a police official says the hostage taker appears to be linked to the two suspects in this week's deadly attack on the newspaper in Paris. The country's anti-terrorism prosecutor says there are multiple hostages at the kosher market and there are wounded people. So terror in France, I tell you, it is growing. Alan.
Well, I think that they have achieved, the terrorists, pretty much what they want, which is national, international attention. The sacrifice of individuals, the way these demented minds see themselves, is secondary to their, their jihad. And so this is pretty terrible. Now, in the background of all of this, of course, Ray and Libby, is the concept that France is in no mood for this, and they've been moving substantially to the right. Now, what's ironic, I suppose, if that's the right word about this, is that you have a right-wing movement which are fascists or close approaching fascism, and we all know what that can mean. So here you have these going into a Jewish institution, taking prisoners from the errant Muslim group, and on the same page you have the semi-fascists, the Pens and others making movement in France. This is pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. On some level, it's not easy to be a Jew, on many levels, in France these days. While they're getting their international exposure that they desire, they are also, I would think, building up other countries who are willing to join the United States in a more forceful way in combating this terrorism. Before, the United States would be the one out front and everybody would say, oh, okay, fine, you be out front, maybe we'll help you, maybe we won't. But when they go into these other countries, and France is one of those countries, and they go in and they shoot up their people, there is going to be a response. I don't care if Hollande is on the Democrat or the Republican or the liberal or the conservative side there, but there is this sense, and I said this yesterday, about this growing fascism within France, and it's an anti-immigrant sentiment that will not lead to an inclusive resolution to this, but will lead to a much more clamped down, we hate anybody who isn't like us conclusion about this, which will not be good in the long run.
That's Libby and Post. Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff in for Joe, who will be here shortly. By the way, I forgot, since I'm going without a script here, to mention that you can weigh in on all we speak of today by emailing us roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, or you can go to our website, wamc.org, and then /roundtable, and you'll find a little thing that says panel discussion and then today's date, 1-9-15. You can comment there, and we will read your comments as they come in, and if they are appropriate, of course. The interesting thing here, Alan, is the two suspects who are now surrounded in this printing shop have said and told authorities, we wish to die martyrs. Now, what's the end game here? Obviously, they have a hostage, and that's the paramount interest, but what do you do if you're a hostage negotiator and you have two people who say, well, we want to die a martyr?
It's beyond my pay level. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what you do. First of all, you have to decide whether they really mean what they say, and I'm assuming that they do. You know, that whatever is waiting for them on the other side is waiting for them on the other side, that they really believe this. And, you know, to one of the worst things about the counterterrorism efforts here is that these folks are willing to die. It's terrible. It's awful. But they are. And maybe in their worldview, they think there is another life and that they're going to it and it's a better place and that they'll be rewarded for this disgusting behavior. Nevertheless, if they believe that, what do you do to negotiate with a person who is, you know, who is demented? I don't know.
It certainly is a no-win situation, and it's not something that any of us can really wrap our heads around, or anybody be able, as you said, be able to negotiate with these people, because they just don't care. What I found interesting in when I was reading the Times yesterday is that they agreed in hostage negotiations or the standoff negotiations or whatever you want to call it to let a school full of children be evacuated without any harm coming to the kids. And so, you know, they all say they want to die for Allah. You know, there are some religious beliefs where life on the other side is much better than it is here. But you have to do good works to make sure you get there. And, you know, this is not what we consider to be good work.
Interesting that the security all over the U.S. in the big cities, and I think I just saw Joe. There he is!
Yay!
Interesting that the security is ramped up around the U.S. Mm-hmm. But in essence, what do you do when it's one or two people more or less acting what would appear to be at random, although this would appear to have been a more planned attack? How, you can ramp up all you want. How can you stop everything?
Well, I've often wondered about the suicide bombers and the ranks of the people who do it. So, in other words, they're all encouraging kids like this and others, young people, to do it. But we seldom see them committing suicide themselves in one way or another.
Isn't that an interesting thing?
Let's take a break here. Joe is here. We'll let him... he's discombobulated now, so recombobulated, right. I guess would be the term. Roundtable@WAMC.org is the email address. We will be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986. WoodstockDentist.com. And Pegasus Footwear, Woodstock, Rhinebeck, and New Paltz. Shoes and boots for children and adults, Clark's, UGG, Merrill, Keene, Fry Boots, and more. Three locations with 20,000 pairs of footwear. PegasusShoes.com.
Ray's right. I'm combobulated now.
Now, yeah, you do.
You look so much better.
All your molecules are back in order.
Very combobulated. Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Ray. Good morning.
Hey.
Thank you very much. Very nice to have you with us. So we've done the situation in Paris.
As little as we can in this situation that continues to unfold. Two episodes, 30 miles apart or so.
And we still don't know. And obviously, details will emerge, and we'll have a news update coming up at 9:30 mm-hmm. from our friends at the BBC. At least they were our friends last time I checked.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, Bernie from Woodburn says, dear Roundtable, a highly respected academic and commentator on the Middle East, Juan Cole, states his position that, quote, Al-Qaeda wants to mentally colonize French Muslims, but faces a wall of disinterest. But if it can get non-Muslim French to be beastly to ethnic Muslims on the grounds that they are Muslims, it can create a common political identity around grievance against discrimination. And he would love a comment if it's possible. And my comment would be, it sounds reasonable to me. I thought that and thought of said something like that when I first got on this morning, that the whole idea here is to create this war that will go on.
You know, one of the things that I find fascinating, I was just about to ask you this question, and then we got a letter very similar from Matt, who said, you know, what's to stop an attack like this on American soil? And I think that's the whole point, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
We have nothing to stop an attack like this happening anywhere at this point. Right, Alan, I mean, it doesn't seem like you can't stop anything. I mean, in this particular attack, there was a philosophical reason for doing it, but it is still a terrorist attack. It is lives being taken. And while we don't have attacks perhaps at this moment for that same reason at this time, we still have people walking into shopping centers and supermarkets and movie theaters and opening fire.
It's astounding to me, Joe, Libby and Ray, that we haven't had more. I mean, I think this president is very proud of the fact that our intellectual apparatus has been able to stop this, and he's assured us that they have stopped a number of them. So these two guys, for example, who were allowed to roam in France, are on the no-fly list to America. Matthew, as you just referred to, Joe, wrote us and says, "What's to stop an attack like Charlie Hebdo from happening on American soil?" That's right, and it is almost inevitable that it will happen.
Well, it already happened. Marathon bombings already happened.
Well, they want us to live in fear, and the more we live in fear on an ongoing 24-hour basis, the more they win,
and the more they get publicity for what they're doing, mm-hmm. which is so important to them.
I think the strategic look that professor said about, you know, we can't get them this way, so we're going to rile up the right and the anti-immigrant sentiment so they'll eventually come around to us is very interesting and very, very dangerous.
And it's working.
Yes.
I mean, the last French elections were scary.
Right.
As the right wing
swept
into power. Yeah.
Yep.
When you think about this particular situation that's happening in France, what is the proper American response? What should do you believe? And obviously the president has spoken out about this and has condemned the violence. But beyond that, behind the scenes, what should be done? And what do we assume is being done, Alan?
Well, you know, I'm assuming that our anti-terroristic bureaucracy is hard at work. And that they're collecting names. I remember when, in the beginning, after 9/11, I remember when Teddy Kennedy, they wouldn't let Teddy Kennedy on a plane because his name was on a no-fly list. And I mean, they saw him, they knew him, but they had that was this overreaction. I think the concept of American tolerance towards Muslims is key to this whole thing. Because if, in fact, Muslims feel that this country is against them or any other country is against them, as in France, if you follow my meaning and these elections, as in France, if this happens, it's interesting that they have picked, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't pick it, but maybe they did. And we saw the Penn people sweep into power or win some of these vital elections, and you say, okay, this is a place where we really can get this holy war going, just as the professor prophesied.
So when you say that maybe they picked this, maybe they didn't, pick what?
Pick places to unleash their terror.
Okay, so the specific, we're going to do the office of this magazine for this purpose.
Yes. And by the way, it's pretty interesting. If you watch American television and you read some of the columnists in the most important papers in America, they are offering a cautionary tale or a cautionary warning about not exercising our freedoms the way that, you know, now this is not Alan talking, this is just reporting on what's going on, that there are people who are saying, hey, look, I don't like to be called the K word if I'm Jewish. I don't like to be called the N word if I'm black. I don't like to be called any of the appellations that are used in homosexual cases. There is a certain amount, I think, of reserve, personal reserve. Not that you're not allowed to do it, but that you shouldn't do it. And I think there are a lot of people who are coming up with that. So, Joe, when you say when they went into these particular offices, I think they knew pretty well what they were doing.
But you know, you're talking about coming in and they're also the stereotyping that, and I'm going to just twist this slightly, is what you're seeing that we saw after 9/11, that then all Muslims are painted with this brush, anyone with brown skin, anyone, and you know, I'll admit I was absolutely horrified when there was a Muslim human rights lawyer on CNN. I saw this 2 nights ago. I almost fell off the chair. Don Lemon, who, by the way, was voted by the Columbia Journalism Review as the worst reporter of 2014,
really,
asked the lawyer, do you support ISIS? And the guy said, I'm sorry, did you just ask me if I supported ISIS just because I'm Muslim? And it's, you know, it's that kind of attitude that is coming out in the hours after this that is really, and I know we saw this after 9/11 as well, it's just very scary.
You know, Joe, it doesn't take much. That's the interesting thing. Those of us who are old and who are at WAMC remember very well when down our block, the FBI came to a Muslim gathering place and took away some people, and I believe convicted them of trying to steal Stinger missiles. What'd you say?
Yeah, two imams, yes.
Yeah, two imams in this place. And then everybody else in that temple gets painted with that brush. And I am sure that isn't true.
Well, and it's really it's an interesting case. We're going to talk about it more when we come back. We welcome your letters, of course, roundtable@wamc.org, also wamc.org/roundtable, if you'd like to take part in the conversation. Alan Chartuck is here, Ray Graff, Libby Post, and I just got here. We'll be back after this. Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. We will continue with news of the day, talk about other issues, including Barbara Boxer, and we're going to talk about the NFL investigation and other stories. We also want to talk about community college and the president's proposal on that came out yesterday. But first, we have your letters. Alan.
Yes, there are definitely letters. I'm glad you mentioned it. Let's see here. Terror from Tom. Tom says, what about our own homegrown terrorists? What, two wrongs make a right? That's me. That was
right.
My
was your response.
Yeah. That's as you say it, Ray, that was my response.
Right.
I have a lot of mail from people like the new spam filter people. But we don't really have to talk about that. Now, Robert says, the willingness of Islamic terrorists to become martyrs makes understandable the Israeli response of demolishing the homes of their families. Do you think the West is going to begin taking similar actions if these attacks continue? That's interesting. And let's see what Andrew says. Should not the Islamic religious leaders be brought in to negotiate with the terrorists? That's an interesting question. However, I have a feeling that some of the leaders are not happy with Qaeda to begin with, right? And so one wonders whether that would be productive or not. Does Bernie say something here? I don't know. Yeah, we did that. We did Bernie already. I think that's about it for now, Joe, but I probably left something out, and I'm so sorry. Okay, James says, please understand I am not being factious or sarcastic when I ask why news organizations dedicate a 24-hour news segment to one story without let-up, whether it be a terrorist attack or a downed airliner ad nauseum. There must be other news to talk about. Well, first of all, we do talk about a lot of other things besides this, instead of CNN and everybody else. But let me ask you this: when you woke up this morning and you knew this was going on, did you want to know exactly what was happening? To me, the answer is yes. Am I alone in this, lady and gentleman?
To me, yes, I want to know what this is happening, but I don't know that I want to know what it, that it's. I don't know that I want to know. The details from CNN. Does that make sense?
Why? Why not CNN?
Well, I think for the question of that 24-hour news cycle of that it goes through a filter. Like when I was listening to NPR and I listened to the newscast, and it's synthesized for me, and I get the pictures without having a speculation of that person that's running down the street who may be an officer or maybe a suspect and we don't know, and then there's just all that speculation.
But
does that make sense?
What you lose in the responsible journalism that you get from NPR and New York Times and others is the immediacy, and if you have any ability to sort of critically sift what you're seeing real time, then CNN's, Fox's, all the other news networks that provide all this 24/7 coverage can be very valuable.
Now, isn't there a Solomon-like splitting of the baby here? I mean, I certainly agree with you, Ray, about something like what's going on this morning. It's real time. You know, you're following the police surrounding the building. To me, it's a huge story and worth covering. On the other hand, when you know an airplane has gone down into the ocean and that everybody is dead, how many ways can you say that?
Okay, I agree with you. I thought the CNN coverage prior to this breaking news has been all about the, you know, they brought up a rudder, they brought up a piece of the tail.
We found three bodies today.
And it was excessive because there was really no question about
what happened
happened to those people.
Well, I agree. Look, I'll watch it to see what is going on. But that excessive coverage, the problem is that you have all of a sudden. If we are watching for one second, this is a completely different conversation, obviously. But if you turn on for a minute, as Alan indicated, as I think so many people do, just turn on to see what is happening in the world at that moment. And suddenly they're talking about, okay, well, I'm going to use the example because I saw this morning. There's a guy running down the street, and they say, oh, we believe that is one of the suspects. Well, it turned out that it was an agent trying to, you know, just doing his job.
Yeah.
But then there's all the speculation. So then suddenly on the bottom of the screen comes up hostage running down the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's bad.
So if I'm just looking at it at that moment, that's what I think is going on.
Right. And by the way, we're not singling out CNN,
Absolutely.
Sky News,
no.
All the networks, NBC,
yeah.
CBS. This is not just because that happens to be out of my house in the morning when I wake up.
No. And it's what
Abbott
we have
Costello,
on here. And quite obviously. Frankly, the reason we have CNN is because I think out of all of them, they are usually the most responsible.
Yeah.
I think that's true. But meanwhile, back to work.
Yes.
I don't condone any of these acts, says Sean, but I can't help to think that the foreign policies of most Western nations are not helping the situation. We live our daily lives with people of many cultures, but Eastern countries don't live Westerners every day. From what I see in the news, the only time the cultures see what Westerners is when we are invading Eastern countries. Well, I think that's a little excessive, but, you know, you have a right to say it.
Well, it's certainly not the West's fault when 12 people are gunned down in a magazine.
No.
You can't
no.
blame that on France. I'm sorry.
No. And let's see here. Where is the outcry against these bad acts by, quote, good Muslims? If the average Muslim does not speak against these acts, they will be painted with the same brush, Scott. Well, I have to say, my response to that would be there have been groups speaking out all over the place, Muslim groups speaking out all over the place. Friday prayers were devoted to to rejecting this senselessness. The major Muslim organization. So where does one get off saying that there are no, quote, good Muslims reacting to this? They are. I think they are anyway. Am I wrong?
No, there are. There are. Yeah. And we have to recognize that these folks don't speak for the majority of the Islamic community, and especially not in the United States, and I think probably not around the world. You know, you've got some people who have made their mission in life and have gotten very media savvy to be able to attract all the attention by doing violent acts. And they are making life more difficult, as we've said before, for other people, other Muslim people around the world. And we will see in France, if Le Pen wins the next election, that those folks will be persecuted and will be driven away, which will just raise the stakes and raise, you know, the ire of the folks that don't like us in the first place. And so, you know, I think as I'm sitting here listening to this, I think this is now the time for there to be a lot more interfaith action showing support from all parts of the religious communities to show that, you know, Islam in itself is a peaceful religion. It's how it is manifested and how you can take, just like people take various parts of the Bible to discriminate against people and persecute people, same thing happens with the Quran, and it's time for that to stop.
Well, Helene says that basically we ought to introduce lithium and other drugs like that into the water around where the hostages are. That way we could take them alive. And I don't think so, but anyway.
That sounds risky.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hello. Just commenting on your questions and comments on why these tragic terror-related events don't happen in the USA as frequently. Don't you think there's a different culture in the U.S. when it comes to self-defense? The first cop that was killed in Paris was unarmed, as were all of their victims. Do you think that because we have a different culture around police work, self-defense, and gun ownership in the USA, that we may be safer as a society?
Nevertheless, it does happen. Look at Fort Hood. I mean, Everybody had guns.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So the notion of let's arm everybody doesn't really work.
Uh-huh. Yes. And I think that may be it for a little while, although, you know, they keep coming in. Then you got to go back to the top. You know what I mean?
Yep, back to the top.
You got to go back to the top. What is the current U.S. policy on gathering metadata? After the Snowden leaks, there was a movement against it, with NSA having to defend it. Can law enforcement stop terrorist attacks like Paris more effectively with more screening? Some at the NSA might say yes. So now that's an interesting concept, don't you think, guys? In other words, I've been talking for 2 days now about how one of the great risks here is that civil liberties will be diminished because of those stringent and tough moves that will obviously affect everybody's civil liberties. All those people who are opposed to NSA leaks, and I had my own reservations, I have to rethink this under these conditions, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think so.
Yeah, and John says, if the Saudis can punish the blogger with 1,000 lashes and 10 years in prison for criticizing Islam, how can you say it's a peaceful religion, says John. And Janice says, look at what the Australians did with their I'll Ride With You campaign. That one got lost on me. Anybody?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, not here anyway. Unless.
Yeah. And Mike Spain said, I may not be on time.
Right. But all is well.
Mike, all is well with Mike, and he'll join us on Monday.
Right,
and,
just and a rumpled right. bumper.
He had some issues,
oh,
too.
Oh, boy.
So.
Well, the roads are bad.
Yeah.
They certainly are.
Yeah. There seems to be a halt in the conversation.
Well, we were waiting. Are there more letters, or are we?
I don't. Here. Yes. There is one who objected to our bashing of Lemon. Roundtable, why go after CNN every day? There are other news outlets like the BBC, which usually review similar news. I am originally from Knoxville and so glad that President Obama is visiting Knoxville today. I like the idea of open community college for everyone who wants to go, and that's Jane from Poughkeepsie. And by the way, Jane, I couldn't agree with you more. As I have said too many times, I went to Hunter College. It was absolutely free. And if you look to your left and you look to your right, you saw people who never would have been allowed to go to college if it wasn't free.
So can we talk about that?
Yeah. In fact, when I first got there, I want you to know the books were free.
Wow. Wasn't tuition free, too?
Were they scrolls then? Or were they actually?
No.
Yuri.
No. You went to the store and you picked up the books. And I remember one of my professors walking around looking over my shoulder and asking me if I was treating the book correctly.
Were you?
You know, I don't really remember that well. It was something about being so scared that I was studying in the bathtub.
Ah, that old ploy.
Are you following?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we got you. So President Obama said Thursday that he would propose a government program to make community college tuition free for millions of students, an ambitious plan that would expand educational opportunities across the United States. The initiative, which the president plans to officially announce Friday at a Tennessee community college, aims to transform publicly financed higher education in an effort to address growing income equality. So we work with the states. The plan would be funded by the federal government and participating states, but White House officials declined to discuss how much it would cost or how it would be financed. It is bound to be expensive and likely a tough sell to a Republican Congress not eager to spend money, especially on a proposal from the White House, and God forbid if it involved educating someone.
Well, they certainly don't want people to be educated, because the more educated people are, the less likely they are to vote for them.
I would sort of think that those side shots are hardly worth it, you know, in this particular case. However, I do think.
Do you think Republicans will?
This is nuanced, I think, Joe, because I have said before, nobody likes to hear me say it, but I've said it, that the middle class is what counts in these elections. So if you say it's going to be free for everyone or for most people, in fact, the middle class say, okay, we're getting something. If you say it's only going to be for those poor people down there, the middle class get up on their hind legs and say, hey, they're getting everything. And that is why you really have to make it for everyone, so that the profile of the kids who are going to the place are inclusive rather than basically segregated by economics. And that is something that we all know what that means.
Are there any details on what the actual work requirements would be? Or is this I'm throwing this idea out there?
I think we talked about this earlier. I think this is one of the proposals that will come in the State of the Union message. He said he's going to go on a tour where he is kind of teasing some of these things. This is one of them. I don't think all the details have been worked out, but... Well, maybe they haven't been worked out, but at least they haven't been, released.
But Libby makes a very good point. If, in fact, there is a political aspect to this, and that is the last election, folks of color, folks who have little money did not turn out. And that was the difference between winning and losing. Now you put some of this stuff on the table. And you say, this is why you should turn out, because it's for your kids and your family and for you, and there's more of an incentive to turn out. Put more positively than the way Libby put it.
Well, I understand what you guys are saying, and that, yes, it could have been seen as a cheap shot. But I can tell you, I learned a lot at the kitchen table with my father, who never graduated high school, but read the New York Times every day and was a staunch Democrat. And he said this to me very, very young, that... the people in power, in order to maintain power, want the rank and file not to be as well educated, so that they have to believe what the people in power say, because they have no other information.
Yeah, makes sense. I think that your father was a smart man.
He was a smart man.
My father, too, by the way, did not graduate from high school. Also read 4 or 5 newspapers a day and was smart. And I'll tell you something, they were teaching a lot more. Well, no, I'm not going to. That would be a bad shot. But I can just tell you that he was a very educated man, as it sounds like yours was, too.
We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we would love to hear from you. WAMC.org/roundtable, and you can comment there. Yes, Alan, were you going
to
say something?
Well, there were a lot of people who has continued to write to us. Tom says back in the 70s, it cost me $400 a semester at SUNY Albany, paid for books and, and board. Still a good deal.
I remember that.
Okay. And there's a lot on Fort Hood, which is unarmed. A lot of people at Fort Hood were unarmed.
That's true. That is true. There were rules in effect at that time. So that is true.
Yeah. Ahmed says, love you all, but by pulling out one of your several suggestions and not mentioning the main idea, which was to use a pharmaceutical that would harm no one, we could render the hostages unconscious. Okay, got it. So far, okay. And combobulated says, that's David, says, thanks, Ray, for spontaneously generating combobulated. I'm sure I've heard it before, but I can't remember where or when. It will be entered into a future issue of the Dictionary Companion. There's evidence from the World Wide Web where language runs rampant. Yes.
Very good. Yes. Very good.
And then... Ernest says, this is marginally irrelevant because our two countries are so unlike, but I would remark that so far in the U.S., we have had 265 gun deaths in the U.S., and like that. And that's I think, what we have now. Oh, wait, no, I'm going back to the top. And the Alliance for Quality Education says, tell Governor Cuomo to end inequality in schools. And Vincent says... Your comment that we should rethink the NSA monitoring of Americans is irresponsible. Oh, did you hear me say that? Sometimes I wonder what ears people have. I didn't say I was for it. I just simply said it was going to happen. Am I wrong about that, panel? Am I making that up?
I got to look at the transcripts.
Yeah. The elements in government trying to reduce the power of the people in this country have, by using security as an excuse, and are already trying to figure out how to use this just as they used 9/11. And Al says, hi, how
hi.
Are you?
Hi, Al.
Hi, how are you? Okay, so I believe that's it.
Okay, let's go to hopefully get in a few, an issue at least.
You got a break, right?
Oh, didn't break? We need a break? Okay, we need a break. Thank you, Raymond.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Combobulation.
And by the way, no attachments, no go read this by Professor So-and-so. You say it in less than a paragraph, and that's it. Those are the rules. Sorry, folks.
All right, there we go. let's go to a break.
Do I sound angry?
No, not at all. No, let's take a break. No.
We'll go to a break. We'll come back. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Inspire Design and Build, a fully custom remodeling, home addition, and new construction company located in Saratoga Springs, offering design consultation and estimates, inspiredesignandbuild.com. And Southern Vermont College, Bennington, Vermont, career programs in nursing, criminal justice, sports management, and radiologic technology, svc.edu.
Table and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us on this Friday morning. We have about 5 minutes left, and we'll try to get in as Mitch as much.
Yeah.
Or Mitch.
Well, if Mitch is here.
And Mitch, too.
Sing along with Mitch.
There might be a bouncing ball somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I will make that cheap joke. Okay so Barbara Boxer has said, hey, I'm not going to seek re-election in 2016. She made this announcement yesterday. And the, of course, senator from California, comments.
Comments.
Well, they're all old, that's for sure. Everybody in state government is old, like me. They're like 76. The governor, I think, is 76. And he can't run again. He's run, what, four times, right?
Yeah, this is round? His fourth term.
Four times. And he says he can't run again. And Barbara Boxer is older, too. And
74.
Right.
And Dianne Feinstein is 81.
Right.
Yeah, she's up there. You know, I'm not an ageist myself. And the older I get, the less ageist I am.
Gee, I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Isn't it time for the early bird special? you're late.
Yeah. What is the fish they serve down in Florida?
You know, I don't know. Yeah. You got to go to Shoney's and find out.
Yeah.
Shoney's.
Not on the East Coast of Florida.
Back to work.
So anyway, I think it's time, and I think she recognizes it. It's time to either stop trying to rearrange furniture on the Titanic, or to let new people come in and spend their time and re-energize things. You know, you've got Gavin Newsom, you've got Kamala Harris, you've got a lot of good people. It's going to be a Democratic state no matter what. So it's not like, oh my God, the Republicans are going to take over. Let's get some more progressive Democrats in.
But every once in a while, before you get too comfortable, a Republican wins in a Democratic state like Massachusetts, for example, or other places. So you just can't take it for granted. That is when you lose elections. I offer you, and I like her, but I offer you Martha Coakley as an example.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have to be smart and strategic. But there doesn't seem to be, at least from what it's in the Times, that there is any kind of Republican front runner. So we'll see what happens. They're saying it's unlikely they're going to put much effort into winning the seats.
Yeah. Famous last words. It's unlikely.
Yeah.
Heavy FLWs.
Well, you know, oh, it's unlikely. We're not going to do it. And then, oh, by the way, we're really going to do it.
Yeah.
And in the minute we have left, Boston. It was chosen out of the possible sites by the U.S. Olympic Committee to go for the Olympics in 2026.
Oh, great.
But wait. There's a small problem. They don't want it in Boston. The peoples don't want it.
Well, the city does, right?
Yeah, the city does, but the peoples, more than one, doesn't want it.
And
that's what the public opinion polls are beginning to show.
It's an interesting proposal, and we'll see what happens.
Parking is so good there now; right? it'll be fantastic
and driving,
during the Olympics.
Can you imagine all the driving that'll happen, and how safe people will be?
But it's it's 12 years away, right? So
yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah,
it's
so
12 years away, and Boston's we'll all be not 12 that years big older. Of a city.
Can I just say one last thing really quickly, and that is thanks to everybody for their letters, all the ones we read, and all the ones we didn't read where people wait for the last 3 minutes of the show to write their letters.
Well, you are angry today. Wow. Calm down.
All right. Well, let everyone calm down. We're out of time, but thank you very much for being with us. Raymond, thank you. Alan, Libby, thank you very much. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of the panel. The roundtable continues after this.